Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, who do you talk with? Who talks with you? Are they all alive on this side? Maybe there are some people on the other side who would like to talk to you and have you talk with them. And we're going to find out more about that because it's really a happening that's more and more present in the world. And we have an author for the show who has had very direct experiences with the other side. And she's written a book called Never Parted. And that's very meaningful about these people on the other side. Especially, we'll hear the stories from our wonderful author, Terry Lynn Siegel. Terry, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter, for having me. I am very grateful to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad. Your book was really a very rich book because your brother passed on in a difficult way, and you were in really terrible grief about it, and then he helped you out. Can you
absolutely
talk about that?
Well, yes, I lost my brother to suicide.
Right.
And I have, I've come to learn from talking to so many people how complicated and deeply emotional the subject is. And, if you had asked me who's the one person in the world you don't want to lose, I would have said my brother, Jeff. And he's the person I lost.
But you found out that he wasn't entirely lost.
Yes. And so it's just been this crazy ride. The first kind of sign that I had was literally the night that he passed. I came home from a trip and I was already worried about him. And I was thinking about him and I got into bed. And I was tired and I felt like a shove against my back out of nowhere. And I woke up the next morning and the play of events started happening, getting texts from my other brother, Chris, and eventually coming to find out that my brother had taken his life that night. And so what I think I had felt was actually when he was passing.
Right, that he wanted to know that he was still connected with you. He wanted you to.
Yeah.
But you didn't know it was him pushing you.
No, because I did not know. I was really tired and I was worried about him, but I did not make that kind of a connection, no.
Right. But you have a whole book on subsequent connections.
Yeah. Right. And so that was kind of the first one looking back. And I started having a visitation dream from him where he appeared smiling. I saw him from the waist up and he looked probably maybe in his 20s or 30s.
Which is normal when we have those visitations from the other side.
Yeah. So that's what I've come to read. I read voraciously after he died. And he was smiling. He's called me my nickname, which is T. Hey, T. And walking towards me. And as I walked towards him, he started to disappear. And I was like, please stay longer. And he just disappeared. And that was the first dream visitation I had.
And then there was so much that went on. The book, it has so many stories of him appearing to you in many different guises of himself, but in different locations, yes, wearing different outfits.
Yeah. He's come in every kind of sensory form, you know, visually, feeling him. One night I felt a bouncing on the end of my bed. It woke me up and I, of course there was nobody at the end of my bed, but when I woke up, there was a huge, like a ball of light. Different sparkling lights in the corner of my room. And they just kind of sparked around for about 10 seconds and then disappeared. And
but that was very soon. You also had very direct communication from him.
Yes.
And you've done some automatic writing that he's had a lot to say.
Yes, you know, I feel like I got so much help writing this book. People would appear out of nowhere to give me suggestions and help. And so one of the things that I was familiar with, because I'm a therapist, was doing automatic writing, which is basically, I've done it with clients, where you ask them to get quiet and calm, maybe meditate, and then they can put a question out. And then they just start writing, and you don't stop yourself or edit. You just keep writing what comes to mind.
Right.
And so I did this with my brother.
Uh-huh. And what's interesting, because I've done this myself, and not long ago, my wife actually did it with my father writing her. And he had such poignant, valuable things to say that was beautiful.
Fantastic.
And yeah. I've had a long history of dealing with the other side. And I did have a visitation from my mother some years ago, where she looked like she was in her 30s, that she died in her 70s. And other things. But I'm sure a lot of people listening, watching this show, have had their own experiences with people from the other side who have revealed themselves in strange ways, but meaningful ways, using synchronicity.
Yeah. Synchronicity has been a big part of the connection with my brother.
Right, because he knows how to use it for you.
Yeah, he was strong spirit in this life, and I think when you're strong in this life, maybe you're more capable once you pass over to do some of these things.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, something about your book was very interesting to me, and I'm so glad that I can understand it in a deep way that at first I couldn't. Which was that you were very, very, let's call it obsessed with needing to be in contact with your brother after he passed for a long time, many times. And your mother even criticized that.
Yes.
And she thought you were interfering with your brother's progress on the other side by needing him so much.
Yep.
Right. Now,
that was an interesting moment.
Sure. And my take on it is that your soul needed that to do that with him, and he needed it to do it with you to be able to write this book. That you couldn't have really had so much to put into this book if you hadn't been in such grief to need such contact that taught you so much.
I think you're right. I've come to believe, I wrote about in the book about other times in my life where I feel like this kind of window opened and I got a glimpse into something else.
You were good at it.
I've been good at it for whatever reason, but I think the reason is I was meant, you know, if you ask people in my life about me, they're going to say, she's pretty grounded, you know, just a normal person. I'm a therapist.
She's a grounded, far out person.
Right. And she's open, but she's grounded. And so I think I was meant to write this with him, for him. My impetus to write this was a story of, I met a mom who told me she was having connection with her daughter, but she felt like she couldn't talk about it. And that kind of made me mad. And so really I wrote this book to sort of say to the world, look, we aren't nuts. We are very normal people. And there's many, many people now, many books have been written, that this happens to millions of people. It's very real. It's very real.
It's more and more common. And from what I'm understanding, those on the other side are actually scientifically getting better at finding ways of connecting with us.
Yes.
There are scientists over there.
there's all kinds of interesting things going on. You know, you would be really surprised. And more, I think the more people, you know, there's more books now about near-death experiences by people who, you know, are coming from the medical field. And so I think the world is meant to be having this opening at this time, that people are more able to hear it.
Right. And also you mentioned in your book, and he was a guest on my show years ago, is Michael Newton.
Yep.
And doing regressive hypnosis to in between lifetimes.
Yep.
And the stories that people have are amazing.
Incredible.
And I actually, people who don't believe in what we're talking about, I tell them, you're not going to believe it if you don't have a personal experience. So why don't you get some regressive hypnosis and have a firsthand experience of the other side?
Well, you know, I, even in the beginning when it started to happen, part of me was questioning myself. I was diagnosing myself. And it took me a while to kind of let go of that and to just trust that this was something very different, but it wasn't crazy. It was just very different, but actually a part of life that not everybody gets to experience.
Right. And also, he had many lessons for you about all of this.
About
what it is. What's, you know, he talked to you a lot about what he's doing on the other side and you know, what life is like over there. And it really made sense, right?
It makes sense with everything that I've read that I trust in my gut. I'm reading something that makes sense as real and lines up with what he answers he's given me through automatic writing or images I've gotten. And, you know, that the idea that when we pass over, we still retain who we are. We don't disappear into the ether. We actually, that soul and spirit of Terry or Peter is still going to be intact.
Right. Forever.
Forever.
Right. It's just that it's not all there is on the other side of us.
Right.
We have that, you know, higher self, that super self, that really represents all of our lifetimes, and we're just part of that. And eventually, I believe that eventually, you know, Peter Roth doesn't need to be Peter Roth on the other side after the next 100 or 200 years, because everybody in this lifetime who I could have, would have known would be on the other side also, and we're all moving on to other opportunities. And yet we can always remember ourselves and remember each other from the other side. So it's not any real loss, it's just that there's more to do.
Yeah, I use the analogy of a kaleidoscope. And I think the reality that is so hard for us to comprehend from here is that once we come out of this body, really the reality is like a kaleidoscope, and there's so much multidimensionality about it and the way we participate as souls in it. It's like we are the clicker of that kaleidoscope, and we're part of the pattern as well. Yeah. And it's constantly changing.
See, I don't think that our brains can comprehend what life is like over there, because we don't have physical eyes, or, you know, we have invented eyes. We have, you know, the illusion of reality that we create through intention, as we do here. But here it's so dense and limited because we have limited brain capacity and limited DNA. And it's such a dense third dimensional reality that we have no idea what life is like when we're not in a linear environment. That we're really, because we really live in a quantum environment, but we can't comprehend it.
Yeah. And I think you had mentioned something about earlier, the connection between lucid dreaming and after death communications in one of your emails. And I thought about that for a long time, and I just wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
You know, I think there's a connection for me between lucid dreaming, synchronicity, and after death communication.
Right.
And my theory is that we, in those realms, we experience a fundamental shift in our perception of life. And we really get to understand that we are both timeless and temporal at the same time.
Some of us can. You know, it really, we're not all designed to think in bigger ways as you,
no.
You are.
But I think life is designed to give us exactly what we need in the way that we can receive it.
Yes. I think everything is in divine order.
Yes. In life everyone. Life is generous.
Well, I would say interpret that because right now life on this plane seems quite limiting. But that's relative, and it's all in the moment of the patterns that exist in the world right now that need to be here for us to know what we need to give up and move on from and expand from.
Yeah, and give up is a key word, I think, because to me, we need to get simpler about it and more faith-based. And I don't mean in a religious sense. I mean in, you know, my friend has this expression, faith is the mode of perception. And I think she's right. What you believe in is what you get in life, what you see, what you hear, all of it.
Right. So I believe that we do live in a quantum reality, that we only live in the illusion of having our conscious minds be in control and our brains be, you know, the bottom line, whereas our subconscious is actually participating in the quantum reality and feeds our conscious mind, and in very limited ways, because our conscious mind can only understand things in linear terms. And so we're all living in, I like to call it, and it's in your book, quantum entanglement, where everything is magical. Everything is working on a level that we can't even imagine.
Yes.
And in your book, you ask your brother about who are our soulmates, and he says, everyone is our soulmate.
Yeah.
And that means that you and I are soulmates because look what we're doing together. We're
doing
important work together that needs to be done so our souls have found each other.
Yes. And this moment in time, even though it's lasting 26 minutes, it's very important, and it's giving an imprint into the overall pattern of life that's very important.
Right, and let's look at that, because also in your book, you talk about that our thoughts have form. Our thoughts are very important and are heard throughout the universe and are recorded throughout the universe. So all thinking is actually just as valuable as speaking.
And, or more so.
Or more so, good. I like that. And so so everything that everyone does is part of the progress of evolution of the universe, and only feels as stuck as we feel about it. But it's all in divine order. In other words, you know, we're only ready to understand things at the level we can, and we're moving more and more forward to understand things at deeper and deeper levels, which is why your book is in the world.
I think one of the main messages I got from the whole experience of my brother passing and what's happened indirectly, is that our own state of mind is terribly important. And so what I mean is, it's one thing to be open, but it's another thing to truly be grateful. And it's another thing to truly approach things from an attitude of bringing up your vibration or your loving energy as much as you can, and overcoming doubt and fear. So those states that we find ourselves in a lot of times through negative thinking, it's really important to address that in ourselves and to try and find a way to bring our vibration up, so to speak.
Well, let's just say that people who have subconsciousnesses that bring them to listen or watch the show are here to hear you say that, to inspire them to do that. So we're all moving forward in ways that are working at a deeper level of input. That,
yeah, and I've learned that so much of what we struggle with here, I already was learning it from being a therapist, but I kind of got put on the other side through this.
Yeah.
You know, is the things of doubt, judgment, fear, all of those kind of emotions are, in a sense, not real. They're real to us here, but when we leave here, there's none of that on the other side.
Right. The energy there doesn't hold it.
No, it doesn't. And so, you know, it's meant for us to experience it here to learn something about ourselves. But I've also realized that it's really important to remember that there's a much larger picture, and that when those things show up inside of me still, I just take it as it is an illusion. It isn't really what I'm about.
Right, but I think our souls intend to suffer, to struggle on this plane so we can find the light. And the more we seek light, the more we enhance the universe. And yeah. So there is a purpose for what we're going through. It's not a mistake.
Yeah, and it's still a mystery to me. You know, I had to grapple with some scary, deep, dark things after his passing. And I had to come to the decision to forgive people, to look at some fears. You know, when someone takes their life, you have terrible images that come in your mind. You wonder what their last minutes were like. You know, it's pretty intense stuff. And sure. Yeah, and so I had to grapple with that, and I had to find a way to kind of swim through it and get through the other side and still believe that all of this is for the good.
Yes, and you know, tragedy and grief are so hard on us, and yet we came here for it. We don't have to like it, but our souls grow from it and become wise.
And you know, it is a mystery to me still. I've seen people go through grief and they don't find the light in it.
In this life. Really,
yeah, in this life.
Right. So there are future lives to find more light. And on the other side, it's just that when we're born, we don't remember the other side so well to take advantage of what we know from out there.
Right.
And so it's a big learning curve that we're on, but we're getting more and more insight into it and can have more compassion for ourselves and belief in the process. And your book does that. So let's go back to talking about your book, Never Parted, which is your journey, not only with your brother, but so much about your own evolution and connection with the universe. And yeah. So it really was a pleasure to read the book, and I think a lot of people will get so much out of it. Is there a website?
Yeah, so I have a website. It's terrisegal.com.
And it's terrisegal.com,
exactly. Yeah. Right. And I put up like what's going to be happening in terms of events that I might be doing. And I put up some interesting articles and links for people who are interested in getting more information about after-death communication or near-death experiences, all related topics. So I'm always kind of trying to improve my website because I'm not a website gal, but I've been getting help.
Right. There are so many communities out there now of people who have had these kinds of experiences and want to share them and understand them better. And certainly your book is a great opportunity for them to do that.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. No, and it's just amazing how deep you go into understanding this quantum entanglement that can allow all of us just to accept the process and trust it.
Well, I had some help again. I had written an article for an organization I belong to, and someone got a hold of it. The author who did the foreword for my book, A.B. Scott Hill. And he asked me, he said, "Now, how did you get the answers to these science questions?" And I told him, and he's like, "You know, I really think you should put this in your book."
Well, it is. And
yeah.
Thank you so much, Terry. Thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. And this is Peter Roth, your host. And I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org. And we're going to have, following the show, we're going to have a message from our station director about a new fundraiser for the station, so you can all help it grow and be as wonderful as it is. So stay tuned for that. And I'd love to hear from you all. And thanks so much for listening. And thanks again, Terry.
Thank you.